It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Well, the temperatures are increasing, the vegetation is drying out, and fire season is just around the corner. We are already starting to see some early vegetation fires. Here to talk about county planning ahead of the summer months and things to keep in mind is the Tuolumne County Office of Emergency Services Assistant Director, Dori Beetz. Dori, it's great to have you back on Motherlode Views.
Great to be here, BJ. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about the new fire sirens first. There was a test recently. Can you fill us in about where those new sirens are and how it went?
Yeah, so we did do tests of five sirens, or what they call outdoor audible alerts. Those are in Groveland Community, Tuolumne City, Twain Heart, Cold Springs, and Strawberry. So we, OES, in conjunction with Tuolumne County Sheriff, Tuolumne County Fire, created a test of those sirens or outdoor audible alerts with those partnering agencies. And so we held that on April 30th. We had some great success in the fact that we were able to test a couple little glitches in the system with a couple of the sirens. Our Tuolumne City siren went off without a hitch, was heard quite a ways away. It was great. Our other four sirens, we had a little bit of a glitch in a programming, but we got those to activate a little bit after the planned test time. But we did get those to activate, and so we did have participants who responded to that. We created a survey for the public, which was great, and that survey then had a dashboard related to GIS or ArcGIS platform so that we could see exactly where people were at when they heard the alert, as well as whether they were inside or outside, et cetera. And so we wanted to make sure we're gathering some information when we do the test. Because we had a little bit of a glitch, we'd like to test those again. And we are coordinating currently right now with Tuolumne County Sheriff for a date. And we're hoping to do that around the first or no later than the second week of June. So we will do another test. We will, of course, advance notice the public and media so that we can get as many folks ready for that particular test.
Were you able to get a good sense as to how far they can be heard then?
Yeah, so what's interesting about the technology, it really depends on topography. It also depends on wind or other types of noise. And outdoor audible alerts are meant truly to alert individuals who are outside. And so it really depends on the day. But in some areas, we did see quite a bit. For example, in the Tuolumne, folks in Soulsbyville heard the alert. So that's great distance, farther than what we anticipated. And so we really are really taking that data, because as we look at adding additional layers, or if we look to add additional locations, we want to understand the technology a little bit better so that we are a little bit more specific in where we put any new systems in the future.
And those sirens are new. So remind us, if people do hear those throughout the summer months, you know, what does that mean and what should they do?
So the only time we will use that is if there is an evacuation. And so we really ask folks to pay attention. If you hear that, if it's not a test day, but if you hear a siren in one of those five communities, remember, we still have a community in Columbia that has a siren that goes off every day at 12 noon to signify lunchtime. That system is not a part of our alert system. We are working on ways to include that or to change that system so that we can include it in our current system. But if you hear those alerts in any one of those five communities, that will mean you need to leave. You need to evacuate the area immediately, and also seek information from social media, from the Sheriff's Facebook, our Facebook, Fire Facebook, also to tune into My Motherlode or listen to local radio stations so that they can get the most pertinent information about the event that's happening. But it will only be used in the event of an evacuation that has been issued and ordered by the Tuolumne County Sheriff's Office.
So just fire evacuations, or could it be like if there was a big flood or something like that?
It could be any type of an evacuation, okay. any reason that we are going to have to evacuate individuals from an area.
You also just tested the Everbridge emergency alerts ahead of the summer season. How did that go?
That went great. We really spent a lot of time the last couple of years encouraging the public to opt in. And we have, you know, 93,000 records now in the system. That means whether it's a cell phone, landline, email, which is great. 4 years ago, we had only 30,000. So we really have improved the messaging out to the public to opt into that particular notification system. We also make sure that we open our public information line. That number, 209-533-5151, will always be the phone number that those alerts come from. And one of the issues or concerns that we had a lot of folks who saw the number come through on their cell phone or their landline and did not answer it. They had no idea who it was. They let it roll over to messaging. Then they called us back directly. So we are telling individuals, please note that in your cell phone, note that on above your phone at home, that if this number is calling, that means that we are issuing an emergency alert through the Everbridge system.
All good preparations ahead of the peak fire season. Have you heard many early projections from firefighters about what can be expected this year when it comes to conditions?
Well, we always meet early on, and we met last month as a group, all of the partners who work together in wildfire preparedness and also response. So we talk about, you know, readiness. We talk about resources that will be available. Obviously, you know, Mother Nature will have a lot to do with it. We had a lot of rain, which is great. We had great snowpack, and we had a longer, you know, late season snow, which I think will help in the higher elevations. But the grass will grow. It's already grown. Some areas you start to see it change from green to brown, which is an indication, obviously, that things are drying up quickly. It's hard to tell, you know, climate-wise, rain-wise, wind-wise, all of that will come into play as we progress, you know, through this month and next. But we can't ever truly anticipate what the season's going to be like. More, we have to be truly ready for anything that's going to come our way.
So from an Office of Emergency Services perspective, when we have those bigger fires that become multi-day events, what's taking place behind the scenes to coordinate the various agencies and information and so forth?
Well, first and foremost, I have to say we have one of the best fire response, you know, coordination that you would see in any county within California. We have a great relationship, obviously, Tuolumne County Fire, Cal Fire, all of our districts, all of our partners, our federal agencies, tribal agencies that really work together to support any kind of suppression effort. We are very fortunate to have, you know, Columbia Air Base right here in our backyard. We also, during that type of event, whether it's the sheriff's office who is working with fire to activate any type of evacuations, OES manages then the EOC or the Emergency Operations Center if it's needed, and we will then help coordinate and support the efforts out in the field. So if there are resources that are needed, we will help assist that. We will also determine sheltering needs, work with our partners such as Red Cross, our CERT volunteers, our CSU volunteers, those entities already here in Tuolumne County who can help us staff shelters in the case our residents and our visitors who have been evacuated might need that.
We're talking with Dori Beetz on this weekend's Motherlode Views. She is the Tuolumne County Office of Emergency Services Assistant Director, providing important information ahead of the busy summer fire season and things to keep in mind. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment is coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We're talking about fire tips and information to know ahead of the fire season coming up on this weekend's Motherlode Views, joined on the program by Dori Beetz, who is the Assistant Director of the Tuolumne County Office of Emergency Services. What are some of the main things that property owners need to keep in mind and rules that they need to know ahead of the fire season?
Well, lots of things. First and foremost, you know, we just concluded Wildfire Preparedness Week, and we really want property owners to be educated about the steps that they can take to make their property and their home wildfire resilient, but also prepared for the upcoming season. In California, obviously, we have defensible space laws and rules that affect all residential property, and it's important to understand what those are. We have some changes coming in the future, but really trying to keep anything that might be combustible away from your house. So simple things as clearing all of the leaves, you know, from your gutters or anywhere around, you know, your residential structure. Also moving anything that would be highly combustible, like a firewood pile, moving those, you know, a distance away from your house, and keeping everything, you know, away that might catch on fire in the event of a wildfire. There's a lot of data and research out there about ember ignition, and we are really promoting not only defensible space, but home hardening. And home hardening is a step a property owner can take if they can do so, whether it's making sure their roofs are non-combustible, making sure they have the right gutters that are non-combustible, vents that limit ember ignition, you know, of their home, little steps that they can take to ensure that, and we really support that. We also have a new hazardous vegetation management ordinance in Tuolumne County that affects your driveway that goes up to your house and also to your vacant land. We do have a lot of property owners that have vacant lots, and we want to make sure you're taking care of those as well. We suggest that property owners visit readyforwildfire.org and really understand some of those steps. We have a great CAL FIRE prevention officer here locally, Emily Kilgore, that can help, you know, individuals understand a little bit more about that. We also have our own fire prevention in Tuolumne County that can help property owners, you know, understand what some of those risks are currently on their property.
You mentioned home hardening. I know there was a meeting in Ponderosa Hills not too long ago in regards to that. What's going on there?
Yeah, so Tuolumne County received a fourth pilot project in the state for home hardening. It is a FEMA and Cal OES funded through California Wildfire Mitigation Program. Very excited that Ponderosa Hills was the chosen area, the project area. And we're right in the middle of the Environmental Historic Preservation Phase 1. And then we had a public information meeting for all of those eligible property owners. We suggest, if you missed that meeting, to go to our website, look for home hardening. We have a lot of information. We hope to be going out in the early fall with applications and right of entry forms to start some of that. And it will help pay, depending on your income, everybody is eligible that's in that project area. It's about 415 homes to apply to get assistance. So it could be a non-combustible roof. It could be new gutters. It could be windows, dual pane windows, vents, multiple things, including defensible space. And so we're really excited about that. We're also very excited that if we do a great job in this project, that we will get future funding for other communities within Tuolumne County.
In recent years, it seems like there's been a push, too, to have FireWise communities in Tuolumne County. What can you tell us about that and what it all includes?
Yeah, FireWise is a great opportunity for your local neighborhood to work together. And we have, I think it's about 17 or 18. I'd have to go back and look at the list. Also, too, you can go to our website and under OES type in FireWise, and they'll show you a map as well as some information about how to start a FireWise. But you need a minimum of 8 property owners in your community. And they don't necessarily have to be all adjacent, but they have to be in, you know, a close proximity. And those then 8 property owners, or how many you get, you could be up to 2,500 in a FireWise community. You have to commit to helping each other, and you create a plan of what that looks like, and you hold events to help each other create FireWise. So that might be doing defensible space, that might be doing, you know, some roadside brushing, anything in your community that's going to help lessen the risk of a wildfire.
Just makes common sense to want to be a FireWise community. Does it help at all with fire insurance or anything?
Yeah, actually, there are several insurance companies that will give you some credit for being a part of FireWise community. Not all of them, but I will say both FireWise, being a part of FireWise, doing home hardening and defensible space are all three areas that have proven to give some discount with your fire insurance.
So besides getting your property ready for the heat of the summer fire season, you know, what should individual residents and families do right now to prepare?
Well, first and foremost, if you have not signed up for our Everbridge Emergency Alerts, we ask you to do so. And you can do that easily by going to our Tuolumne County webpage. Very at the top banner, it says Emergency Alerts, and you can sign up. You can also go through your mobile app and search for Tuolumne Citizen Alert under Everbridge. It is so important that every individual sign up. So not just the head of household or your landline, that every individual that has a cell phone or an email is signing up for our Everbridge. So that's first and foremost. Second, everybody has to have a go bag. And again, the go bag is not for your entire family. It's for everybody. And it should have certain supplies that will help you through the next couple of days should you be evacuated. It's important to have that to be ready. It will lessen the impact and the amount of time it takes you to get out of your house should you be told to evacuate. So we ask you to do that. We also ask you to really understand the different routes of egress, ways to get out of where you work or where you live. Many of our communities in Tuolumne County and our residents don't often understand the multiple ways to get out. We do have community maps also up on our webpage to help individuals, but we really ask you to understand that and study that and practice it. I always tell families, you know, wake your family up in the middle of the night. Don't tell them you're going to do it, but don't do it on a day that they have a test the next day or something big, but make it kind of a fun game where you wake them up and say, all right, you got 5 minutes, get your go bag, get in the car, and take a different route. You'd be amazed at nighttime the difference it is, especially when you're half asleep, you know, trying to remember, okay, do I take a left here or right here, et cetera. So the more you practice that, definitely as a family, the better you're going to do when the event actually happens.
It looks like AT&T is most likely not going to be allowed to phase out landline phone services. You know, are landlines still a tool that you use in your office to connect with local people?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, for our older demographic, it may be the only means for us to communicate. So we were a part of the effort within Tuolumne County, the Board of Supervisors, working to make sure that AT&T kept the landlines here. It's really important because we have a large demographic that use that. Also, during the event of emergency, the cell towers go down or they're inundated. And so sometimes landlines the only way for anyone to communicate, and they are kind of the last resort. In that respect, I ask everyone that still has a landline to buy an old phone, a plug-in phone, not the battery-operated one, but the old. Keep your old phone that you can just plug in, because you'd be amazed when the power's out and everything else is down, that phone is still working.
Some good advice. We're talking with Dory Beetz, who is the Assistant Director of the Tuolumne County Office of Emergency Services on this weekend's Motherlode Views. Programming note, next week on Motherlode Views, we're going to hear from a panel of graduating seniors from Tuolumne County High Schools. It's a chance to talk about student life and issues facing the next generation in Tuolumne County. That's next week on Motherlode Views. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our final segment is coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
And the heat of the summer fire season is just around the corner. We're talking to Dory Beetz, who is the Assistant Director of the Tuolumne County Office of Emergency Services, talking about things to keep in mind this time of year and throughout the year in the Motherlode region. And next thing I want to ask you about is a little bit about evacuation shelters. What goes into kind of picking those sites and making sure they're ready for people to come in?
Sure. We have done a great job through our GIS and our EMS, sheriff, fire partners, and understanding truly, you know, where the best location would be during an event. So if a wildfire is occurring in the sheriff's office, through consultation with fire, has determined evacuations are needed, we at the EOC will look at what do we have available. And just yesterday, we did a walkthrough of county facilities that we would use during a shelter. And there's certain requirements. One, and first and foremost, is they have to have a generator backup, because because of what happens during an event, we will likely lose power. And so we always want to make sure that we have a generator backup in a shelter. If we place individuals in a shelter without power, then oftentimes we would have to move. And once you create a shelter, you really don't want to try to move everybody to another unless you absolutely have to. So when we are also looking at location, it depends on the incident and where we think the incident might be headed. In this case of wildfire, we don't want it too close that, you know, the wildfire then would impact that shelter and we need to move it. So we look at those criteria. We also want to make sure that there is ADA compliance and there's plenty of space for us to create separate rooms if needed, whether it's gender specific, et cetera. Also, this last year, there's a new law that mandates us as a county, anytime we create a shelter, at least one shelter that we open up has to co-locate pets, not allow pets inside the shelter, but co-locate. So we are working with our animal control partners and our Red Cross partners at each of those sites to truly see if there is an ability for us to co-locate pets. Or do we need to bring in additional equipment, shading, power, water, you know, cages or fencing to allow us to do that. So we are currently trying to understand that and also plan for that because we are required by law to do that now.
So co-locate just somewhere on the grounds then?
Yes, okay. Within adjacent. And that it stems from many shelter evacuees over the past several years who were very frustrated that when they came to the shelter, they could not take their pets. And so now the pets can be there. They'll be responsible for taking care of them, but we will help support if there's food needs for pets. But they can also then stay inside the shelter, the individual, while their pets are outside.
Do you know they have pretty strict definitions about what qualifies as a pet?
Well, BJ, that's pretty interesting you asked that question. So Mike Mazuch, Animal Control Director, and I, you know, we were going down the list and I was like, oh my goodness, we could have anything.
Sure.
But really, we are defining what that means legally because obviously you think of dogs and cats, but it could be other types of pets that people have. So we're going to work through that. More to come on that.
And then the public information line, is that a relatively new thing that the county has been offering?
It is not. It's something that we've always had, but what we want to make sure, because OES has grown now and our capacity has grown as a county for OES, we now have staff and we have trained volunteers to answer that. And it is so important that we activate that line immediately that an event happens, because what used to happen is individuals will call 911 and it was non-emergency calls. It would be, you know, where's the fire at? Or, you know, can you tell me? And they're so inundated with actual 911 during the event that's what we do to help support them is create that public information line and staff members who or volunteers who can answer it as quickly as possible so that we are giving information out to the public that's consistent with the event and any other information that is coming from the official agencies, the sheriff, fire, or our office.
One thing I've witnessed in the community, if you want to see panic, just have all the cell phone towers, you know, no longer transmission or whatnot, or the cell phone lines and internet go off. You know, we've had some incidents recently, not too recently, but in the past where we've lost cell phone access and so forth. Has anything been looked at or done in response to that from OES?
Yeah, we are really supporting a huge plug and shout out to our partners at the Sheriff and Dispatch who do a phenomenal job. But we really are trying to figure out ways to support their office, their department, their facility to ensure that that doesn't happen again. So we are constantly looking for funding, working with partners at the state level, also really making it a priority, you know, internally to support that. We can't have our dispatch line go down. It simply leaves us very, very vulnerable as a community, especially during a wildfire. And so we are, you know, looking at funding that we get from Homeland Security. We're looking at applying for additional funding to help support their needs to make sure that that does not happen again.
Are there any other grants that OES is working on or the county is looking at right now?
Yeah, lots of fuels reduction. Obviously, within the CAO's office, there are several of us that work on fuels reduction projects and making sure we have huge MSA in partnership with the U.S. Forest Service. We also are really engaged in finding funding for defensible space. So we do have a large USDA grant currently that we will be start implementing here in the next month, specific to three communities, and that is Miwok Village, Cedar Ridge, and the Yankee Hill side of Columbia, where those eligible, both elderly and income qualified, can get some defensible space cleared on their property through that grant process.
Any other successes over the past year or so when it comes to fuel reductions?
Oh, lots of it. We, you know, we have a great fuel storyboard. We also, as I said, have staff, Caitlin Henry under Liz Peterson and others in our MSA have done phenomenal work. Sean Hembry in our natural resource really doing some grant writing that are specific to fuels reduction. And we have a great story to tell, and Tuolumne County is leading the state in doing a partnership fuels reduction between local government, private nonprofits, and other government, federal government, both U.S. Forest Service, tribal entities. We are doing a great job at finding money and implementing that on public and private land.
Have a lot of nonprofits really bought into that locally as well?
Yeah, so Tuolumne Fire Safe is one of those that has been very supportive, and we do a lot of work together. We supported the Community Wildfire Protection Plan that Tuolumne Fire Safe was managing that process to get that plan updated, and that really lines out some of the priorities and some of the areas that we all want to work on together.
Do you know early on, there's a lot of talks about state budget cuts. Are there concerns about fuel reduction funding on the horizon?
Always, obviously. We always are concerned about what's happening with state budget because it affects local government. Absolutely. But again, we have great reputation for grant management. So we continuously get awarded funds, and we will continue to apply for them. As long as money is out there, we're going to apply for it to make sure we're bringing it to Tuolumne County.
Got a couple minutes left on this weekend's Motherload Views. Any final comments you'd like to make or issues that we haven't brought up that'd be good to get out to the public?
Oh, well, you know, it's wildfire season again, BJ. I cannot emphasize that everyone has an individual responsibility to be ready. Our first responder agencies are ready. We as OES are ready to support that. But we have to ask the public and our visitors to pay attention and be a part of the solution. The more folks that have their go bags ready, who understand what to do when a wildfire happens, also take the time to prepare, have a communications plan, talk to your kids, talk to your neighbors, work together, the less of the impact it's going to have on our first responders who are out there trying to deal with the situation and that particular incident. So I cannot ask enough of our community to step up and really be a part of the solution and be ready because we have no idea what's to come.
Yeah, and you mentioned a lot of tourists in town this weekend as well. And if you're listening, you know, do your part as well. So we're all in this together.
Yes, I appreciate that. And we are going to embark as much as we can on educating the visitors as well, because they're coming from all over the world to our county. And we want them to be a part of the solution as well.
You know, before we wrap up today, about a year ago at this time, we were talking about cleaning up from the past winter. How was the most previous winter? Was it a little less exciting?
Yeah, it was a little less exciting, except for that little late snow we just had, you know, a couple weeks ago. We obviously
took everybody by surprise.
We have a great system now of, you know, kind of prepping for those types of situations, whether it's paying attention to National Weather Service or at least staying in touch with needs for resources in those events. But it definitely was not the impact we had from last year.
Well, Dory Beetz, thank you for coming on Motherload Views. It's great talking to you again.
Thanks for having me, BJ.
Again, we thank Dory Beetz, the Assistant Director of the Tuolumne County Office of Emergency Services, for being our guest on this weekend's Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen. We'll see you back next week for more Motherload Views.
You've been listening to Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherload. Motherload News has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.